This week on RSBNB Updates, the JMods recap 2022, and we catch our first peek at what 2023 has in store. This includes the death rework, grand exchange fees, and necromancy. We detail why the GE update is a fee and not a tax, and lay out our first thoughts on necromancy. This is RSBNB Update, episode 913, recorded Thursday, December 15th, 2022. It's a fee! Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update, the last regular update of the year. But we do have an impressive holiday schedule of podcasts on the way. But this week we have a bit to go through with presents from the sledge. We're going to touch briefly on that, some patch notes, and what's coming around the corner in 2023. Tanis, you're here as you are each and every week. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
And also joining us this week is Earth. Welcome.
Hello.
I have accomplished my New Year's resolution of having you on the show more than once this year. So thank you for enabling me and allowing me to do that.
Well, you know, you're persistent.
I know, and it's a fun topic this week, the Grand Exchange tariff and death cost rework that's coming on January 9th, which we'll get to and we can sink our teeth into now that we have the information on it. But if you're joining us for the first time, you can find full show notes at update.show. We're in Friends Chat, Bits Bytes. We also have our Discord at rsbnb.com/Discord for about the next three remaining weeks. I can be found in-game on my Fresh Start account, which is Shane with three E's, Tanis at FSWTanis79, and Earth can be found at Lord Earth in-game. A nice and simple name with no numbers. So... how's everybody doing?
The space.
Doing good, but you're the only person I know that would say you enjoy talking about death and taxes.
Well, I mean, we have to at this point, right? And I think people want to talk about that because it's gonna lighten the pinch on the pocketbook when we go PVMing. But in any case, presents from the sledge. Tanis, you're over the moon with the presents this week.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it being pretty good last year, but it's real good. Like, especially when you've may have a MTX problem and you can't really charge anymore on your credit card, and you still need that XP fix. You still need them stars. You can get them with wrapping paper now.
Is that what makes the XP so good? I thought we had stars in the presents last year.
Yeah, I thought we did.
Well, there are, but you get stars, you get lamps, you get oddments, you get.
Oh, and then that all filters back.
I don't know. It's just good. Like I've been averaging like a lot.
Okay, and this is where the Aurora die comes from, of course. And preliminary numbers on the wiki for trading in wrapping paper for presents is 1 in 10,000 to get the golden present, which gives you the Aurora die. Purple presents are 500. Out of 10,000, blues are 5,024 out of 10,000, and whites are 4,475 out of 10,000. And with that, it's important to note that the Aurora die can come from any color present. It's just going to be more rare from the white, blues, and purples. And, you know, let's just, you know, talk about this here at this point. That can we get rid of the food here that comes with this?
I know, right? Seriously. Like, I goes on the floor.
Like,
it's a little annoying.
Like, I mean, sure, the papayas are useful, the sea turtles are useful, and the oranges are useful, but everything else, eh?
Yeah, that stuff goes straight to the floor.
Yeah. Golden rings, of course, you get the golden rings, disassemble those for the rare chance of getting components from them, but everybody, of course, remember to go grab your daily present at the Grand Exchange, that Aurora die. Apparently, based on the data that the RS Wiki has so far, is that you have a better chance, 1 in 531 versus 1 in 10,000, and that's obviously subject to change in the future based on more data that comes in of getting the golden present and Aurora die from your dailies, so... That and the advent calendar is something I've been logging in for. I completed the 15-day login to get the snowfall walking animation today, so that was all fun and nice with that. But yeah, I am enjoying the presents this year because I've been doing a lot of wood cutting on the fresh start. We'll talk about that after, of course. That resulted in lots of wrapping paper, but that's a topic for later in the show with that. But we're going to move on and just jump straight into the patch notes right now. There's no Scape Santa this year. The login screen music has been updated to a Song of Hope from the Succession Quest last week. And to fit within the free-to-play skill cap and to make it more accessible in general, the requirement for Dive, Escape, and Surge has been lowered from 30 agility to level 5 agility, and that's something we mentioned was going to be happening last week on the podcast. The Daemonheim enemies in the Mage Arena combat challenge in Succession have now significantly more life points, and we commented last week that each of them had 50 life points, and it was just so easy to, you know, one tap with the sword and they were dead, so that was indeed a bug. Revolution now supports untargeted agility abilities, so Escape and Surge can once again be put on a Revolution bar, if that's how you roll, as they say.
Indeed.
Smithing Argon-like armor during the quest will now give you token smithing XP, and only the anvil near the Mage Arena can be used to smith Argon-like equipment. Then there was a hotfix as well last week as part of the repercussions from the changes to the dragon special attacks in Shattered Worlds. They lowered the uptime of the Feeling Pumped modifier because they say this is a temporary change because of the excessive XP rates that players were getting in Shattered Worlds due to the changes with the special attacks, specifically the Dragon Two-Hander.
Yeah.
This change is considered temporary, while the team is investigating more in-depth resolutions to the XP issues. And with that, I'll say, you know, maybe it's also time to have a look at ED3 with that, given the fact, you know, that people had 99 magic within hours of fresh starting. So,
I don't think it was within hours.
It's within the first day.
I guess.
Right. And, I mean, you could say the same thing with any of the combat types, but that's neither here nor there at this point. And, you know, that's a relatively light patch week as we head into the final weeks of the year. And with that, we got more information about what's happening in 2023. But before we do that, there was a two-hour-long live stream this week. A whole suite of people on there. Mod Hooli was hosting, Mod Jack was on there for a bit, Mod Mike, Mod Zura, amongst others, some people from the platform team as well, and they recapped 2022. And here's an interesting part, and we're just going to take a very, very quick run through this live stream because we have other things we want to talk about, but the Master Maxscape wasn't part of the initial plan this year. They heard people talking about wanting a 120 all cape. So as a result of that, they just decided to do the Master Max cape. It wasn't initially part of the plan.
That's good. I mean, people's been talking about it ever since there's been 120s.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it, and this is, I don't know how I feel about this, because if it wasn't planned to do it like this, was that okay? I don't know.
It's fine with me, because of course, it's
content
I mean,
it's,
like,
it's so something you're going for, of course. So, yeah. That just raised an eyebrow right there. But, I mean, I guess at some point that's the way people are going to go.
But how much time and development actually had
right,
to go into
right. it? It's basically a cosmetic.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. has a...
an if statement.
Yeah, so it's not like a huge commitment. If anything, the hugest commitment of it would have been on the people who were concepting and then building it in game graphically.
Yeah.
So,
Guardian of Charid was Mod Jack's update of the year.
It's a pretty good one.
It's his experiment in building content slightly differently, where it reworks old content but also adds something new to the game.
So we love to see it.
Yeah, with the plant power upgrades and whatnot. I still need to complete that, but I'm afraid if I do, I'll get 200 mil farming.
And the fly get your herbs from farming, not
from the plant.
Yeah, and you were commenting on that, Earth, about the bloodweed prices before the show, how they hit the toilet as a result of this.
Yeah.
But earlier in the year, they were also considering a skill cap increase to level 120 for summoning. And they got to through the design phase of it, but to do it justice this year, they would have had a hard time fitting it in on that. And I want everybody to put a bookmark in that, because that's going to come back to something we talk about when we talk about RuneScape's newest skill after. And another goal that they feel they accomplished well for 2022 is making RuneScape easier to get into, specifically with accessibility, which, you know, we point these out each and every week they happen, the accessibility updates. I do think that was a definite success of 2022. So
agreed.
Yeah. And then Mod Mike said that the 2023 plan is going to be quote, doing what works, experimenting, and innovating a bit more. And I think what they mean by doing what works is keeping to that core ideal of that RuneScape-y feeling, kind of the same way old school does, except with, of course, the RS3 lens on it. And I find this just so interesting to think about, and I've been thinking about this a lot this week. This is an effective omission that the legacy and the nostalgia factors in old school are what drives RuneScape. And old school does that specifically by making it feel and look and taste like 2007, whereas RuneScape 3 tries to encapsulate that same feeling, but with modern updates, if that makes sense. And I feel like they've finally hit the nail of what RuneScape needs to be after, you know, the various departures that we had from 6th Age to trying standalone things in the 2015 era. Expansions, Metaphos, Elite Skills, yada, 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 right? So, I feel like this was always out there, and now it's just kind of on display for everybody to see.
Kind of a romantic comedy where person you've been looking for was in front of you the whole time.
That's
this was
true.
The game the whole time.
That's true. And it just needs a little bit of a different perspective on how to look at it, right?
Yeah.
So, there's also an update on the Jagex launcher. Apparently more than 100,000 players are now using the Jagex launcher.
It is nice.
And with this, they're going to be moving and targeting March for all players to have access to the Jagex accounts. That is the accounts that bring together your RS account, your OS account, and anything else all under one umbrella. So that'll be nice to finally see that realized and move forward on with that. And with that, we can move on to Tanis's, well, I don't know if this is your favorite topic, death and taxes for the new year.
I could have done without, but I mean, here it is.
So, okay.
You can't avoid it, right?
No, you can't. So they're starting it off on January 4th, which is not that. I fucked up. Never mind.
Hello?
So we're going to move on.
Did I hit record?
No, I did. We're going to move on and talk about Tanis's, one of Tanis's favorite topics, death and taxes, coming to the Grand Exchange in January as part of the 2023 sneak peek reveals. We got more information about this in the live stream this week. And with this, we start off with a death cost and combat event. The combat event is that as this is running, you'll get three times the usual amount of rolls that you do on the boss's rare table. So if you're fighting Karabak hard mode, you'll have three times as many tries to get a fractured staff piece. If you're killing Beastmaster and Yakamaru, you'll have three times as many chance, or you'll get three rolls on trying to get codices and the Reign's armor pieces there, amongst other things. So it's definitely going to be a way to force people, or not force, encourage people to go and do PVM in January, with the idea of trying to make those drops that they get a little bit less rare, because that's something that's a bit of a sticking point in Mod Jack said he wants to work on. So I appreciate that, because he said that they're very rare for people who, you know, do PVM regularly, but frustratingly or painfully rare for people who, you know, just do PVM casually, which makes sense with the RuneScape drop system. So that's much appreciated from our end, and we've kind of been winking at that as being an issue with the RuneScape PVM system. But alongside that, there's going to be the death cost rework. So how this is going to be is that in general, the amount you pay will be reduced by at least 80% compared to the current costs. And the way it goes, and the way it's going to go right now, about how the percentage systems work. So right now, you have an item that's worth 1 million gold. It'll cost, right now in live, 30K to reclaim. And it's going to be 0.1% reclaim, so that only costs 1,000 GP to reclaim an item worth 1 million GP. A 5 million GP item right now is worth 70K on reclaim. 5K GP to reclaim. 500 mil, you'll pay 500K to reclaim. Previously, right now, you'd pay 2.5 mil to reclaim that. And with that, in total, the max amount that you will wind up reclaiming and needing to pay for any item, no matter how much it costs, will be 2.1 million GP on here as well. And what this does is that this, in effect, makes it so that the maximum that you'll reclaim is taken down so much from where we were at previously. And one thing I think that's really interesting about this, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way on this, but the death costs were a thing for me as to why I would never invest in the best in slot gear, and why I would never want to, in effect, go and learn a boss on a week where there weren't free deaths, if that makes sense. Is that how you guys feel as well?
I mean, I didn't really do any PVM until relatively recently, but that was a big sort of, I was very hesitant about that, but in the end, I just bought the best that I could buy and just dealt with it, because, I mean, that's just what you have to do. There's, you can do this or you don't get to PVM. Like, there's not really...
Yeah,
and there wasn't a choice,
right? And the question I think that has been floating around here is that, you know, how much of a barrier were these death costs in reality? Right? Was it the vocal minority of the people who do high tier PVM and, you know, teach and train themselves and push themselves to do things like climbing in rage at Telos, or trying to teach themselves to solo Virago, as an example, because that's where these costs are incurred, and that's what we've said when we went back, and even when we did our monthly bit on PVM economics, is that David has always said, is that the cost of doing PVM is incurred when you're learning how to do that boss, or when you're learning new mechanics as you increase in rage at something like Telos. And as a result of that, go ahead.
And then once you learn it, you pretty much don't ever die again, correct?
Yeah, barring...
Is that, is that the flip side of that?
Yeah, you know, barring connection issues, barring, you know,
I mean, you're
going to
die
button.
Sometimes because of something stupid.
But it's not a barrier at that. I mean, if...
Once you learn it, it's free money.
Yeah, and that's... Point. And I don't necessarily know how much... I mean, it's one aspect. It's one plank in the wall of the barrier, one brick in the wall that is the barrier to PVM, right? That being said, I was all for a death cost rework, because this is the only game that punishes you like that. It's not a good system, so I'm definitely all for that. But we'll get into my contention points here in a little bit.
Yeah, and the example they give is that somebody's carrying 152 million coins worth of wealth and risking 63.1 million coins. And as a result of that, that creates a final reclaim cost of 65K only.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, though, Shane. Where does that leave the people that always said that, well, we can't have nice things in skilling because there's a risk involved in PVM. That's why they get the 100 million GP drops, and that's why they get the $1 billion staffs. They're risking it. Where does that leave us now?
Garden of Charid.
As in crashing bloodweed prices?
Farming herbs. Uh-huh. And, you know, this is, I feel like they've been fully transparent in this, that this is an experiment in seeing if the farmers of RuneScape can supply the economy with the herbs that are needed. And with that, I mean, I don't think that it's ever going to be as bringing in as much GP as PVM does. I don't think that that's going to happen. And as a result of this, that's why I have that question in my head and why I opened the segment here with that. Is this something that was deemed to be a true stumbling block for people in the mid and beginner level PVM range, like the folks who are going through bosses like the Dagonoth Kings and the Rex Matriarchs and God Wars 1 and God Wars 2, those people who are learning and teaching themselves PVM on that? Is death cost, are death costs a stumbling point for them? And if so, then this update is probably the right thing to do. But if this update is instead designed to pacify the community who does high-tier PVM, like I mentioned, pushing in Rage at Telos, Arch Glacier, Hard Mode Karapak, Zamorak, so on and so forth, then maybe we need to have a different discussion about this. And we don't have the exact information about who this is primarily going to help or who was having the problems here at the beginning. Because we need to be 100% honest that this is going to help everybody across the board. Everybody is going to pay less death costs because of this.
Well, exactly. But here's the other side of the coin. If it worked out as planned, as what they're hoping, right, they're hoping it's not a barrier. This lessens the barrier for people to get in, which in turn you would think maybe brings in more drops, which then would lower the price of those drops, make them a little more common.
Yeah,
I bet the PVMers hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, right. And
but
you
that's
know,
the intention, right? Like right. That is 100% the intention to this.
Yeah, and if that was the case, that would be wonderful. And, you know, I never got around to it this year, but one of my things I really wanted to do this year and didn't get to it was to complete the Karapak log, which, you know, I effectively, through one of the free death weeks, I'll probably go there and do that. I might need to, you know, finance some magic power armor and whatnot to do that, but that's a different issue. But I taught myself hard mode Karapak at one of the free death weeks this year, but I just never went back because my kill times were so long. And if I died, I would be, in effect, nuking any profit that I would have made, and I just couldn't necessarily farm the boss as a result of that. So in many ways, that's a problem with the PVM system for somebody who is not 100% efficient at it. That makes sense. So, but I don't know. The metrics are going to say, are more people going to get into PVM? And if this is the case, does this cement one of RuneScape's core endgames as being PVM? And if that's the case, then, whoa, we got to have a different discussion entirely in the new year about the way RuneScape works. But they built an entirely new set of analytics.
What else would it be?
Right,
if not PVM.
Right, and I mean the only other ones you really have for options are cape chasing, you know, your comps, your max, your master quest.
Sure.
PVM,
I suppose, but once you do it, you did it.
Exactly. Whereas with PVM, you can kind of rinse and repeat, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing all the time. So, I mean, to me, I'd rather chase. I mean, I would rather go after XP. I'd rather go for the 5-6 than I would.
Right, and that's another end game as well. 5-6 and 200 mils are another end game, I think. But more on that first week of January from us. Wink, wink. With this, they found that 62% of gold removed from the game was accounted for by death costs. And they built a whole slate of new tools for this, because economy reports were typically done as one-offs before. Now they have continually running reports that show where the gold comes in to the game and where it goes out of the game, and they can look at that on a daily metric basis, which is what you need when you're going to start making these kind of decisions about making changes to the game's economy. And you'll remember that when we first heard about the idea of doing something like the Platinum Coin or Death Cost rework, I said that the first thing you have to do before you start touching any of these levers is you have to look at cash flow. And that's what they did.
I wonder if they looked at the thing that they just brought in the wilderness, which is bringing in stupid amounts of alkables.
Yeah, the flash events with the Necronium salvage. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I do wonder where that would factor in. Let's see. So with that, to offset that 62% they're adding, and this is the part where the show gets interesting here, they're adding a 2% GE tariff to sales so that the seller will receive 2% less in terms of anything that's sold on the Grand Exchange. Which, I mean, and you guys can do the numbers on this, that's not a lot on something like a shark, right? Or a potion. And it adds up. Over time. And
50 mil, it's 1 million.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned
that. They're selling that total.
It's interesting you mentioned that number, because that is about the figure of what I've sold in the last 2 weeks on Fresh Start.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, 1 mil off that, and that's a little bit off the top. It's not going to, you know, make or break me. They said there is the option to change the value of the tariff later. And the goal of this update is to try and fix death costs without increasing inflation. There was a delay in implementing the max cash changes, so that is not coming with this update. That's not ready to go. It will come out at some point later, probably in Q1. And they
now,
might
remind me what those changes entail.
The max cash changes were just going to make it in effect so that you could have 2.1 bill max cash stacks. In that, there would, in effect, be no limit on the amount of GP that you could have, no limit on the amount of items that you could have.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Every time you hit the cap, it gives you a special item or something.
I think the number is just, I think the number is just going to increase as they found a way of doing that in the engine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that'll come at some point later in Q1, and they might look at a broader approach of the economy to look at inflation next year of items and whatnot. But this update is solely to focus on death costs with this. All right, so before we continue, I want to thank some Patreon supporters. You guys, of course, make doing what we do here so fun. And as we head towards the end of the year, we're pulling our January, dare I say it, monthly bit already. But before I get too far ahead of myself about all our Patreon offerings this week in particular, I'd like to thank Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Beekeeper Steve, Bryflex, Big Huge Rat, Chunk the Monk, Cycle RS, Diana, Drama Free, Duramax, Elo Matey, Enrique V, Flaza Man, Free Milk, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Keski, Ling01, Mohan V, Nate the Great, Nick G, OTR Gamer, Parnassius, Ricky A, RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Skiotan, Scott DS, Shirt Pants, Stubbeev, The Naked Captain, The Dabbin Goat, Tim, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you, everybody, for your support. It truly means the world to us for allowing us to do what we do here each and every week. And we're already pulling, as I said, our January monthly bit. Topics that are on offer for that one are discussion on Altscape, which I think makes sense given Golden Party Hat last year and Fresh Start Worlds this year, Archaeology Grind, so on and so forth. Another option we're pulling there is what would happen if RSBNB staff members got to do Game Jam for a week. That is build and design our own RS updates. What would we do? That's kind of a fun one. That's the one I want to win. And then the other one is that we would sit down and have a look at some of the other games that we play, get a couple people on the show and just talk about what we play elsewhere outside of RuneScape. So that's what we're offering for the January monthly bit, but we have a whole other slate of 50 plus monthly bits that you can find at patreon.com/RSBNB. These include things like our famous skill tier lists of 2022, the Dailyscape skill tier list, the PVM tier list, and of course the skill tier list as well. You Earth were involved in the PVM tier list, learned a number of things along the way. Apparently I led you astray with that there. Yes. So lots of learning happens on the monthly bits. But you gain access to the entire back catalog of those for as little as a dollar a month at patreon.com/RSBNB. We also have the VIP tier, which you can sign up for $3 a month. That includes a special VIP rank on our Discord and chat channel access, and you get a mention on the podcast at the start of the month. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, we have the, according to Patreon, and I guess this is the case, the most popular tier, the Insider tier, where you'll receive a shout out each and every week on the podcast and gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. So if any of this sounds interesting to you or you just love our show, check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB. And thanks so much, everybody, for allowing us to do what we do here. We just did our monthly roundtable this past weekend. It was the flying roundtable. We flew from Wellington, New Zealand to Queenstown, New Zealand. That was a fun experience there, and we got to talk about, of course, Microsoft Flight Simulator. We got to talk about the recent happenings in RS, amongst other things. We do those each and every month, and we're starting something new this month, and it'll continue into 2023. We're bringing forward a new Patreon offering where each month Patreon members will get a special something each month, and this month's special Patreon feature is going to be a look at some of the best moments of this year inside our production chat. We have a chat where we produce the episodes, and we're effectively going to do a clip show of the best moments from the chat of this year, of, you know, things that were said that might have, you know, been a little bit funny, or things that might have been a little bit silly, or memes that might have been dropped by one or two people who might have been on the podcast this week. So if any of this sounds interesting to you, check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB. But once again, thanks so much, everybody, for allowing us to do what we do. It means the world to us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I think the part that people are going to be questioning here is they say there's the option to change this later. And that means, I guess, either increasing it or decreasing it based on what happens when this arrives. I know you, Earth, had prepared some stuff for us here. And Tanis, I know you wanted to talk about the tariff. Which one of you guys wants to go first?
Tanis, go right ahead.
Okay. So I think, you know, me and Shane had a discussion earlier this week. My problem, for one, I'm pro def rework. I'm also pro taxes, believe it or not. I'm not one of these people that say tax is theft. My concern was who's paying for it? Because at the end of the day, I don't see economy as this abstract quote unquote thing, economy. At the end of the day, I see it as people buying, selling, agreeing to certain things. And if one person is paying, then someone else is pretty much losing, which means when I see def costs go down and they say that, well, we have to keep it from inflation. So now everybody has to pay that tax that was being paid by
learning how to boss.
Exactly. But you know, now it's just like real life where I'm paying a bunch of stuff in my taxes where I don't do any of it, you know, or whatever. So I guess, you know, art imitates life. I would much rather had seen, you know, bring back the duelery and then put a 25% tax on the damn thing. You know, draw the money where the money's at, not from the poor people, which, by the way, if you only want to pay 1% tax, come to Tannis's Emporium. I will buy all your shit, and there is 1%, just 1%. There you go. But no, I mean, that has been my whole like point of contention was someone has to pay. And so instead of it being the people that do PBM, now it's everybody. Perhaps there may have been another way.
I want to go back to the bulk of your costs when PVMing or when you're learning, because you die. Everyone who is past that point, it's free money. They're not paying death costs. They're just rolling in, or they're just getting more and more and more and more cash, and there's none coming out of it. Because they're not dying, right? Yeah.
Barring, of course, you know, the one-off deaths of where somebody, you know,
it's
does something
negligible
silly
and doesn't matter. They're not dying. So death costs don't affect those people, and those people are the ones bringing in probably the most money, no?
Well, and that's where I told Shane, he hates this, but I believe it should have been what I would call a progressive tax, where if you're bringing in an item that's 100 mil drop, well, that's 10%, bud. You're bringing in an item with a 500 mil drop, well, you're up to 15%, so on and so forth, right, to where you're actually getting it as it's coming in instead of, you know, to me, that would have been, wait for the dirty word, fair.
And you can't
start taking big chunks like that out of it, though. 10% of 100 mil.
Oh, whatever
item,
you want to make the numbers are. I don't really care, but I'm sure there was math that could have worked out there rather than, you know, every transaction for people that aren't necessarily engaging in that content.
How much time would it take you to make 1 million GP? That is how much you are losing as a seller when you sell 50 mil worth of items total. Whether that's, you know, what, 5,000, am I doing math right, sharks, Shane?
Yeah.
Whether that's 5,000 sharks or some random item I can't think of that's worth about 50 mil. That's how much you lose. 1 mil GP. It's not... The value of your time, you're better off continuing to do what you are doing to make money than... You're talking about this emporium you wanted to do where you would only take 1% out.
That's right. I'm only going to take 1%, man. I'm cheaper. Because there's no tax player to player.
Yeah, which is great. And if you don't want to do that, you can, but you have to consider how much
what's the convenience
opportunity cost
exactly
of doing that.
And the important part, because
it could take you hours to sell, you know, a bunch of stuff, like 5,000 sharks or whatever. Or you could sell it on the G immediately and lose 1 mil.
Oh, no, no, no. You sell high bulk, high demand, double XP items. We're talking supersets and dragon darts and, you know.
You can only sell four times a year, or?
Well, the rest of the time, I guess you're buying, right? So,
The thing, though, that needs to be very clear here is that, and I want everybody to take this home, people listening, people on the podcast, and of course, the people who wrote this update are probably acutely aware of this, is that the economic principles that govern the real world when it comes to things like income tax, when it comes to things like capital gains taxes and so on and so forth, any kind of tax in the real world that is not a straight one-to-one apples-to-apples comparison in a video game as a result of this. So there's
really not a tax. It's not a tariff. It's just a fee.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably a better word to use, thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not uncommon. World of Warcraft does it. I think EVE probably does it.
Yeah, that's EVE would do it. ESO does it.
ESO is really rough.
But it's... Video games are a closed economy. Like, you're not...
Right.
You know, imports and exports, and there's infinite resources coming from skilling and bossing, and there's with all the alkables, there's infinite money coming in. There has to be a good way for all of that to leave.
Right.
Otherwise, the buying power of your money goes down.
Which is not good.
And that's what's happened after COVID, when all the people came in and they flooded the markets, just buying and selling everything, and then a bunch of them left. Like, if you go to, I'm gonna plug your website, Shane. If you go to the Grand Exchange Watch on RSBNB, you can look at a graph, name any item, look at it. It spikes up in
COVID time,
March of 2020. And it still hasn't recovered. I looked through probably 30 or 40 common items.
Which one should
it
we
still
look
still hasn't
at?
Settled out. There's nothing useful there. Because the economy's still trying to get back to normal. But everything spiked way, way up, and it still hasn't recovered. I tried to look for older items like sharks, armadillo chest plate, to show how something that has been a mainstay item, always there, people use it, it's fine, it's been here a while, and it hasn't been affected by an update. But with invention, that caused a rise in the price of the armadillo chest. Invention, right?
Yeah, that would be that.
So, economics is not fun because it's easy to look at something in a vacuum with all else staying the same and being like, yes, this will fix it. And there's just so much that goes into it, but the flow of cash that came in during COVID,
I would think that that's the best indicator to look at in terms of the problem that they're trying to fix and solve with this. Cash in, cash out. And
removing a lot of money from the game would be a great way to drop prices and increase buying power.
And which again would in turn would make Tanis's Emporium work that much better.
How so?
Because with people having more buying power, the cost would go down and the amount of money that isn't necessarily inflated there would be more buying power to cut Tanis takes, and people wouldn't necessarily need to spend as much when they go to his emporium.
Yeah, actually.
And as a result of that, I think, and it would have been more interesting, and I can see why they wouldn't have done this. I think it would have been really interesting to see what some of the analytical reports they did on this looked like.
And oh, how I'd love they, to see those.
Me too. Like, how did we get to this 2% number? Was the quote-unquote progressive option included? And the important thing about
the
this...
progressive option, no.
No. And, well, what, and what I was going to say that. And what I was going to say about that is that that's an ideological thing imported from the real world that would not necessarily work in a video game because that's a real world solution.
We don't have to worry about things like people becoming homeless or losing their job because of this. It's well, just numbers.
Well, here's the thing. You kind of convinced me of something. And I think once again, we go back to messaging. Once again, it's messaging, because when I hear taxes, I'm automatically looking for winners and losers. Who's getting screwed? Who's losing? When you said fee, I'm like, oh, it's like a fee to use an ATM. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I totally squashed everything in my mind with calling it a fee.
Right.
I think that was the first thing I told Shane when he sent me this. Yeah. I was like, why the hell are they calling it a tax?
Exactly.
Or a tariff? Or exactly. What are they calling it?
They're calling it a tariff. They're calling it a tariff. The community's calling it a tax. And tariff's not the right word either. It's a fee.
Yeah, it's not a tax, taxes are taken
by the government.
There is no Gilinorian government.
Well, I guess Jagex, right? I mean,
they're authoritarian. I think there are a few kings and queens that would disagree with you there, bud.
True.
It's fine. I could probably just slaughter their whole armies anyway. I am the real god.
You are the world guardian. I mean, shit.
Well, kind of.
Well,
yeah, but... And see, that's the thing. You're right to bring it back to messaging on this. And I think the part that nobody has fully actuated yet. Boy, my mind's in a different place right now. The thing that people haven't fully realized yet is that they're open to increasing or lowering the tax if need be. The fee. It's a fee. That's the title of the show.
Yeah, that's the show title right there. I just need you to record, take that, and that raw right there is the title of the show.
That literally is what, I mean, that changed everything. Thinking about it in those terms
right, and
completely different than the connotation.
Right, because you immediately went to the real world parallel, which is ideological, which is subjective, because... You know, what's the number one thing the 5-year-old who doesn't get the cookie he wants says? It's not fair.
Yeah. But it's not abstract either, right? Like, at the end of the day, someone doesn't get the cookie.
Well, I mean, what I think they need to do is they need to get somebody like Timbo or whoever did the analytics behind this, get them in front of a camera, get them a whiteboard, get them some manipulatives, and let them show how this was calculated.
I think
it's been solved
the
to
MMO
me.
Community is about the only community in any media ever that would actually sit down and watch that.
I mean, hell, get Mod Jack to do it. I don't know if this is his wheelhouse or not.
I mean, this being a fee, though, I mean, that fixed it.
Yeah.
In my mind, that literally fixed it.
And it's not going to anyone, and the amount is
going into the void.
It's going away.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to remove money from the economy, really.
Right. And, you know, we had things like construction and invention for item sinks, but those only work for so long.
Mm-hmm.
We could now we could make a fee for vices, right? I mean, you know, could hit the high rollers.
I don't think we want to add gambling to the game.
See, but this is not no, this is better than that, because if you target the people specifically with all of the money, then they're going to open Tanis's Emporium, because the opportunity cost of a very high fee on selling high dollar items, if it becomes too great, then
you send them under the table.
Become
you send them under the table
to sell it.
And in real life, you send them to different countries.
You take 2% off of every item you sell. Nobody's going to notice that on an individual level, but when you do that at scale, it takes so much money out of the economy that it's great.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to be convinced, but geez.
And like I said, like I said, Tanis, like I said on Monday, I didn't have the argument ready for you at that point, and we could have arrived at that same place, but I knew there was somebody out there who was going to be in a better position to deliver that point.
Yeah, I just didn't see this coming.
Yeah, well,
all right.
You know,
well, I
hope
you got the
money.
Same. I hope you got the same for me coming up.
So just a couple
rough week.
Just a couple of other points here on this. The Ring of Death will also be changed so that it will revive you where you stand and give you and put a damage over time effect on you for the next 3 minutes. They didn't say what the magnitude of that will be. And upon killing a target, you'll have a 50% chance to restore up to 5% adrenaline. So that's interesting, what they're doing for the Ring of Death costs, or the Ring of Death changes on that. We already talked about Raptor's Rampage regarding rare drops.
Raptor's what?
Raptor's Rampage.
Rampage? Hell's a rampage.
Rampage? Is that what you're trying to say?
I guess. Rampage?
Rampage.
Oh, my. All right.
Hello?
Once per day, you'll get three rolls on the rare boss loot table for your first kill. Death Touch darts will be included, so everybody's going to be doing this, and they're not convinced this will be a long-term solution since it's a daily, which makes sense. So I will definitely be hitting up Karapak and the raids on this week when this happens, I guess, or when this happens.
Maybe I can actually get a defender I've been after.
I wouldn't waste it on a defender. Yeah. I wouldn't waste it on a defender. Go for something bigger at Nex, like the Pernix items or whatever. If you're gonna dart something,
well, I mean, you get the drop, right?
So, yeah, I guess.
And I would have been happy with
right. And the defenders, I guess, wouldn't count for that because they're not, you know, the unique boss drops. So
oh, they're not.
No, they don't count for that.
Oh. Oh,
no, they don't. But moving on, we have Fort 4 and 3, which
I wanted to add one more thing,
sure.
though, before we move
to
on.
To the fees?
I really do think it all comes down to marketing it. I know World of Warcraft, for those of you who don't know anything about WoW, they're two warring factions, basically. And the way that they framed it in-game, in lore, is that it's when you sell something to the auction house, they take this fee off just because it's a pain in the ass to, like, sell between the two factions, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
So they could do something like that in lore. Like, it's just a handling fee or whatever for the Grand Exchange. Like, it's just how it's framed, because most people are just going to see tax and be like, no, this is dumb. I hate it. But you say fee, like you said, the ATM fee, that's like, okay, that's different.
Yeah.
This is a service that is being provided to me, and I have to pay a little bit. but it saves me so much time and I'm fine with it. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and in many ways, this exposes another problem, a greater problem like this. You guys are both, Tanis was on the expectations front and Earth here, you mentioned the marketing angle of this. And if there's any blowback to this, well, we know where to point the finger now.
I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you are. It's what people think you are.
Exactly. 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 I don't think anybody else has said that. I don't think anybody else has said that. And for that, that's a very good point.
I'll shout out to my marketing professor in grad school.
Right on. Right on.
Because he said that to me, and I've used it ever since. So,
oh, okay. Wonderful. Four and three, what does your marketing senses tell you about that? It's going to be a longer storyline than the Legacy of Zamorak, and it will be appropriate level of scope for what RS is about and what your character is about. And the premise is that King Rold says that there's a wilderness problem and the Zamorakians will come attack and he'll make anybody a duke or duchess who can claim land north of the Wilderness Wall. The story will involve King Rold and Queen Elamaria, and this will be a year-long storyline that will continue on into 2024 for a second chapter. And with this, they also say that the new skill won't be gated behind any of this content, but the new skill will make sense in the lens of Fort 4 and 3. The new skill stands in its own place and will later merge with the storyline.
Maybe I get a kingdom, a real kingdom this time.
Well, yeah. You're getting effectively what kind of looks like
We're getting fees from our kingdom. We're getting some of the proceeds from that.
Yeah,
that's true.
So it's okay when it happens to NPCs.
I've been taxing those bitches for years.
So that's the general name of the storyline is Fort 4 and 3, and with it, they'll have a new construction training method. They're aiming for this one to be more laid back. It's not a player-owned fort as much as people would like it to be. It has that element of it's that element, they say, that a player owns something that takes a project from modest to large, so they're not doing that. But what this is surface world construction that will give a reason to train the skill and a new way of training it.
I love it.
Let's go.
And they said, and they reminded, you know, a POH rework would effectively be redoing the construction skills, so they're not doing that. And they just want this to be a very different way of training up construction. Over time, you'll be building up a fort, a town hall, a chapel, a command center, and a workshop. It's going to be more social, not instanced, which I think we all agree is perfect. Because how many of the recent construction updates have been instanced, right? I mean, that's the name of the game for construction, is instanced content. So this is good to hear. They're not gonna.
There's one thing introverts like, it's interacting with others.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we learn even through Fresh Start that interacting with people is so important for the MMO. I don't know if that's been your experience.
No, I don't interact with anybody anyway.
Oh, that's too bad. I've had wonderful conversations at everywhere I've been.
That requires typing and reading.
Right, and I guess that's right, and I guess that's difficult for you. And I say that, and it sounds in a different way, but it's to do with the screen magnifier, right?
Yeah.
They're not confirming benefits and rewards this far out. They say the fort will ship feeling quite complete, but more buildings will be added throughout the year. It will not be time-gated content, and the fort will be locked behind an introductory mini quest. So not a huge quest, but a mini quest. I think this scratches an itch that's been needed for a while. Then also, in the year, we have a new quest series going to be about a murder mystery tied into a dinner at Fort 4 and 3. Somebody is apparently going to collapse dead at the dinner table.
Don't ever have dinner in Gilenor. Nothing good ever happens.
No. It's going to be a murder mystery with a detective story. And the whole idea behind it is that you're just going to get a book. And that book will be how you do the quest. It's a puzzle quest. That's what they said. The quest will be a big puzzle. And I'd be I know you don't like puzzle quest status.
Well, but there's a way of doing puzzle quests that are puzzles, and then there's the needle skips.
True. The needle skips. And I hope it's kind of in the same vein as that. The mystery journal will tell you how to get through the quest. There'll also be a character that's like Watson that will help you move through the quest as well. So that's that, and it's got Mod Zero and Mod Stew behind it, so once again, going to be a wonderful quest. I really like what those two did with the recent one combined with Mod Raven's writing. So
very excited to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we move on to what has been probably at this point, in many ways, people saying one of the worst kept secrets of Jagex, and that, you know, everybody thought it was going to be this skill, and we now know it's necromancy.
Yeah, might as well.
Okay, I'm gonna start us off on this one. I let you start off the last one regarding the GE fee. I think that they're doing this in a very similar way to what they did with archaeology, in that archaeology was unveiled about a month or so before RuneFest, just the name of the skill. They were on live stream. Mod Shani got told in his earpiece to release the name of the new skill. I forget, maybe it was Mod Osborne who was on there as well, but it was a complete surprise to Mod Shani at the time, and they just revealed that there was going to be a new skill in 2020. That was going to be called archaeology. And all we had was the name of the skill until RuneFest. And then following that, we got more info with Mod Osborne and Mod Timbo's videos that were shot out in the tent. Wonderful, wonderful video pieces. Got to wonder what they'll do for necromancy, if they'll take a stroll through any graveyards or anything like that.
Will they pop? Take me back to port, though.
Never. Yeah. Never. That will never be topped for RuneScape videos.
I think that's what they gotta. That's the bar they gotta shoot for, though. Uh-huh. Even if they miss it, it's gonna be damn good.
Yeah. Now necromancy brings up a whole other suite of ideas in terms of what it could be, and I want to say that I squarely think that it won't be anything related to summoning, and the reason for that is that the summoning expansion to 120 was designed for 2022, and the decision was made to not go for it because of the scope. And for people who are unaware, skills take about 18 months to 2 years to build. So with where we're at right now with the skill shipping in Q1 of 2023, this would mean that the skill, work on the skill, would have started in late 2021 or mid to early 2021 at that. So as a result of that, you wouldn't necessarily be building necromancy and talk about expanding summoning to 120 if the two were in any way similar. You wouldn't go through the design process of building 120 summoning if it was going to be anything like necromancy. You wouldn't do that. So I don't think it's going to be anything like summoning, bringing creatures back from the dead. I don't think it's going to be dark summoning. I don't think it's going to be like the binding contracts, and it's definitely not going to be pouch making. So I don't think it's going to be like summoning. I also don't think it's going to be an elite skill, because they said they want everybody to be able to access the skill on launch, which elite skills don't do. And with that, you'd have to put behind it, if we were talking necromancy, what that comes up, 80 summoning, 80 magic, 80 divination maybe. So I don't think it's going to be an elite skill. And what our people have seen, Thaxi, Zant, people who have been walking around other communities have said that the general sense looking at this so far seems to be a sense of trust amongst the community rather than straight out negativity, and nobody's picking anything apart yet. People are just kind of, you know, throwing ideas out there on the wall of what it might be. And then Sirion made a very good point this week. He said, you know, what's in a name? You could have called it something like Abjuration or Inscription or something else entirely with that. What he effectively did is he just went to the dictionary and pulled up synonyms.
Did he mean conjuration when he said that?
No, he definitely wrote abjuration.
No, I know that's what he wrote, but is that what he meant?
He said it could have been conjuration as well, and he said that when you think about it, conjuration, by its definition of what you have now, is actually summoning in-game.
Correct.
And what he said is that you look at other words of skills that are in-game, like divination in particular, it has nothing to do with what divination means. So there really shouldn't be much read into necromancy at this point.
Why did he pick that word? It's just what confuses me.
Oh, I was talking to him when he was going through this, and these were just words that we thought sounded fun.
It's from D&D. There's a school of abjuration.
Yeah, that's it. All right. He is a DM.
All right. Now I understand why foreign man used funny word.
And, you know...
All right. I rest my case on that one.
And the question is, why necromancy now? And I think this is going to be our fun discussion point here. Why necromancy right now? And the answer I have for this, or rather the initial premise, is that in 2018, in detailing why they chose archaeology, Maud Osborne at the time then, who Maud Jack now has that job, Maud Osborne said necromancy, sailing, and spellcrafting were early frontrunners that were ahead of archaeology in the skills that were chosen. And he said archaeology didn't win in every category. Necromancy took that crown, but that's a longer story. But it, being archaeology, was a close second, and they all excited our designers much more than necromancy. So, with that, we're left to two things being true, or one of two things being true. Either the necromancy design got better than it was in 2018, or, and I sincerely hope this is not the case, the second best design of 2018 is fine for 2022. And with that, I am choosing to believe that it's the former, where the design got a lot better than it was back in 2018. And that's my initial thoughts of where we're at right now with necromancy. I'd prefer not to go into what the skill might or might not do. Why don't you guys take it away?
You know, I wasn't super excited to hear the name. What's in a name? Well, marketing. That's in the name. And so when I hear necromancy, I hear, yeah, I know y'all say, it's not summoning. How? Right? Like, it's hard because you make that connection. The other connection I make is combat. So, at the end of the day, I just basically was like, all right, well, it's either going to be something that I want to do and I'll get into it, or it won't. But either way, I'm going to keep playing. So...
And isn't that the binary of any skill or any choice in game? You either do it or you don't. I mean,
yeah.
And you know, based on what we see here and what we have in other games, the early front running guess I think might be combat support skill, like Slayer, right? But maybe different. I don't know.
Other ideas that come up is
archaeology is communicating with the past through relics and the codex and whatnot. What if this is communicating with the dead and supporting other skills and training methods on that through that?
I mean, give me a straight gathering. Give me fishing 2.0, fishing for souls, baby.
That might be an angle of it.
Then we can talk.
Right. And see, that's another thing. We don't know where this is going to land. We don't know if it's support, combat, gathering, or processing skill.
Well, I mean, honestly, though, like, do you really think it could be anything other than combat?
Yeah, I do. I think it could be a support skill that fits in with thieving and dungeoneering and all the other support skills in game, Slayer, etc.
I have no idea what's going to come from it, and I'm interested to see it. Having zero expectations and zero anything,
that's the important
I know
part.
I haven't been paying attention to any of the leaks or anything. Like, all they've released is the name, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Jagex officially released. All they've released is the name.
Right, and a video showing some skulls on it and the branding logo for it. But that's it.
Neat. I'm interested to see what happens next.
Right.
I can speculate till I'm red in the face, but I don't know anything about it.
Right, and that doesn't
Neither
do
just anyone else.
And that doesn't do anyone good to, you know, speculate and jump off the nearest, you know, bandwagon or jump onto the nearest bandwagon for that. So I think that's an important thing to say with this. I also, given our Fresh Start Worlds experience, think it's important that going forward, the messaging and that being carried out on this doesn't have any slip-ups. Because, Tanis, you remember what happened that those first 48 hours after Fresh Start was leaked.
Yep.
Even people who were told about it before did things on that they shouldn't have done on that. Yeah, so,
what are you talking about? They're the culprits.
Yeah.
What? I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Yeah, he, I think there's a Discord problem there. He just went really, really fast speaking. Tanis?
What?
Hello?
Yeah.
You got me?
Yeah, you started speaking really fast.
Oh, that's weird. I said, they were the main culprit.
Yeah, that came out in about half the time it took you to say it, but...
Oh, okay.
And you know, that's my number one concern, is just making sure that the messaging gets delivered properly on this, right? And what are we to do here? We have very little role in making sure the messaging gets delivered properly. That comes down to marketing and CM to make sure that that's done right. And for something as big as a new skill, boy, do I hope that's the case. So, I mean, I don't think there's anything else left to say on this at this point without, you know, going somewhere dangerous, but you guys have anything else before we move on?
Before we go somewhere dangerous?
No, I don't, I mean...
What does that mean?
Well, it means that, you know, we could start speculating and conjuring things up that might not necessarily be true. And
conjuring?
Yep. It might be, you know, setting the bad expectation for our community and whatnot on that.
I mean, like, pointing out that the first update of the year is going to be PVM, and then there's another update right after that that's going to be PVM, and then the name of a school.
My God,
like
they're gonna name
combat.
It PVM.
They are, dude. It's it.
Wow.
Wow.
The world is ending, everyone.
All right. Well, with that, I think
it'll be well received.
Hell yeah! New skills always are. New skills are one of the most special times in RS. So
really.
Oh yeah! You remember the good vibes and warm fuzzy feelings you had with archaeology?
I think
archaeology. I remember divination.
Yeah,
I also
divination
remember dungeoneering. I did not feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah,
I felt cold and lonely, like I had no
historic,
friends.
Revisionism.
Okay, archaeology was warm and funny. Invention was rough. Divination was okay.
Yeah. Really? In what world was divination great or okay on release?
I didn't mind it.
Yeah,
it
well,
at least. Straight gallery.
You're a bootlicker, so of course you loved it.
Dungeoneering?
No. I did not feel warm and fuzzy. I felt lonely. I'm like, oh my God. Now, I mean, I know I don't have friends, but thanks for really pointing that out to me, Jagex. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Summoning?
That one
felt the pocketbook on that one. is what I remember about that
summoning
one.
Summoning was neat. I had a good time with summoning.
Okay, okay. Hunter?
Wasn't here for that. Meh.
Okay.
At that point, I didn't really know... Well, what year was that?
Hunter was 08, I believe. Or 07.
Yeah, I was not...
Hunter was 06. Sheesh. Summoning was January 08.
I was 12. 08. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
And
I remember it, though. I think that's really... Probably the first one that I really remember.
Okay, I remember farming.
Yes, we know.
That was a wonderful week. That was a wonderful week.
Oh my god.
And I think that's why I enjoy the skill so much.
You're still talking about it 800 years later.
Yeah.
Plowing them fields ever since.
Lots of plowing. I remember Slayer.
Planting your seed everywhere you go.
I remember Slayer. That one wasn't fun.
Just like Nick Cannon.
What?
What?
Anyways, it's
time. Water, watch it grow.
It's time to move
on. You're like a cannon, Shane.
Okay. All right. And then RuneCrafting came out with RS2.
Compliment.
RuneCrafting came out with RS2. So. All righty. Let's move on to some achievements then. So. I've got our fresh start achievements. As fresh start is wrapping up, only 3 weeks left. It feels like just started, and you know I'd love to stay there and do a little bit more tennis. But yep. You've been busy on Fresh Start Worlds this week. We have you getting 99 cooking on the 15th. Congratulations, as well as 99 fishing on the 10th. And Jingles, who was on for our initial Fresh Start episode, got 99 ranged on the 8th. Then moving on to Mainscape, we have Kedgeworth, who got 120 Magic on December 14th, and RR Man, NZ, who got 120 Herblore on the 14th as well.
Then on the 13th of December, Battle/X got 99 ranged, Even got 99 farming, and Greenyish got 99 fletching. Then on the 12th, Fire Afrit got 120 mining, and Keski got 120 construction.
Nicely done.
Well, then continuing on the 12th, we have Legion 1943 with 120 magic, and Jack Blog with 120 Slayer on the 11th. Then we have Luke Toto Dial with 120 Divination, also on the 11th. Battle/X with 99 Dungeoneering on the 9th. And Thieves with 200 mil defense on December 8th.
Nicely done, everybody. Nicely done. And of course, this will be the last achievements spot until the new year. So everybody hold tight on what you get over Christmas break. Safe to say, we'll have to have some people on the show to help us read the deluge over the holiday break there, Tannis, come January. But with that, we're going to move on to our pick of the week. And I figured, what better thing to do than to give Earth the last pick of the week of the year?
So my pick of the week is Apex Legends, which, you know, I'm a little behind the times here. That's been around for a little bit at this point. But a friend of mine... recently introduced it to me, and I have gotten Shane and some of our other friends into it as well, and we're really, really enjoying it. I think the game is in a much better place than it was when I first tried it a few years ago. And even having to carry Shane, it's been very fun.
No, that's not true.
Oh, you haven't been having fun?
No, you don't need to carry me. I hold my own, but...
Well, Alan helps, but...
The biggest problem is the team size of three. It's limiting in that regard, but aside from that, it's perfect.
Well, socially, it is limiting.
Yeah. Which, you know, when you see the game, it makes sense why they did it that way. And, you know, there was a high bar... for me coming into the game with the Battle Royale mode, because I have an epic story from Fortnite days
Really? Once an epic story?
Yeah, I thought that'd be fun to throw out there. But once upon a time, the group of us were playing Fortnite, and I accidentally, rather than getting the grenade out, I got the boogie bomb out, and I made us all dance, and we all died a horrendous death. And thankfully, you can't do anything like that in Apex. Make your teammates dance and make it so they can't shoot.
Yeah, Shane got us all killed, for those of you who don't know what any of the words that he just said meant.
And we've had good luck with Apex so far. I think we've had a few victories in our threes, haven't we?
Yes, we have carried you across the finish line several times.
We've also got stuck behind filing cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
So... and you know,
it pushed me into it. I just want that on record, and we lost the game because of it.
Wow. So. Wow. Okay. You had a way to get out. I didn't, because I was healing, man. But nonetheless, mm-hmm.
I will give credit where credit is due.
It's an interesting game, and you know, free to play, microtransactions through cosmetics, important to underline that. You don't need to pay anything if you don't want to. You can, of course, pay to unlock extra characters if you don't want to grind the game to do that.
It's not... I wouldn't even call it a grind. I have enough to buy a new character, I'm like, okay, time to try something new. Like, it's not an excessive amount of playing required to get something new.
No, it's not. And, one thing I like about it is that the maps are all very nice, and from an environmental perspective, nice and light.
He means green.
Cheerful and whatnot, I think. Well, nothing too dark or dingy like the Call of Duty games were back in the day, you know?
Well, yeah, that's different. One's a gritty war game.
Yeah. And I think the best part about it is that now it's available on Steam, so you don't need to use the EA launcher if you don't want to for that. So I know, Tanis, you were asking how it would work for you. High level of awareness required, I will say that.
Yeah, that's gonna be a negative there, Ghost Rider.
I mean, you could give it a try. Like, he could give it a try. It might be interesting for him to try, if you know, at some point, right?
But the level of awareness that even Shane here is able to have. So, like, don't let that scare you away. If Admiral Window Licker here can do it, you probably can too.
I love that my new nickname is the Admiral.
No, it's Window Licker.
Can we go back to the Admiral?
No. You have to earn that.
All right, that's Apex Legends pick of the week. And you know, one thing I found really interesting about this is that it actually uses the Source engine of all things.
Heavily modified, yeah. But yes.
And you, I think we should also say, same universe as Titanfall, right?
I was going to ask you that. I thought this was a Titanfall thing. See, I love freaking Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Okay, maybe you should give it a try then, and just, you know, see what happens, right?
Okay.
Yeah, give it a try. Let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He'll probably do better than Shane.
We'll see. But in any case, what have we been up to on ours? Let's start with you, Tanis.
A lot of fishing and then cooking the fish.
Yeah.
A lot of that. And then I think that topped off my 7th 99.
Oh boy. Which was the ones that we hollered out, right?
Yep. And then so I've got 5 pets and 7 capes, and now I'm trying to do some combat stuff. We'll see what happens. I'm really going for pets. Slayer pet would be great. But you know, I don't anticipate any more 99s, but I would like to get some more pets. So,
yeah, that's true. You got to wonder how much those pets are going to sell for on main.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you have a limited community and, you know, typical pet rarity, right? So
yeah,
and keep in mind, people already have to have the pet unlock. So interesting. As for me on fresh start, yeah, mainly just fresh start. Knocked out a few Yak Track tasks on main, but haven't had the time to sit down in the AFK both with both clients up because that's not the level of awareness I was at with RS for this week. But on fresh start, I have hit 81 archaeology, and I'm kind of taking archaeology a bit slow. I know that's one of the ones I definitely wanted to 99 and eventually 120. I don't know if that's going to happen at this point. Check back in January on that, I guess. But one thing I really have doubled down on this week, since last week we recorded, I hit 80 woodcutting last week, but now I'm all the way up to 90 with overgrown idols.
Telling you, those idols are nice, aren't they, Shane?
They are. They're, you know, you only have to watch out for the nest. There's nothing to bank, and they're actually somewhat decent XP. And I think as soon as I hit, I think it's 91 for the golden bamboo, we'll work golden bamboo dailies into that as well, because that's a nice chunk of XP. So I've been mainly woodcutting on that. I am 200k away from level 119 farming, so that's going to get done. Definitely by the time we're done with fresh start, but just the farm and the ranch up until 119 here. So I'll probably pick up the trees again as in my push to 120 and everything else, and you know, really just floor it, so to speak, on the farming angle. And you know, it's really nice cornering the entire market with dinosaur roars.
I knew you would.
Yeah. So that's my current source of money making, dinosaur roars. Since I've got those going and all the dinosaurs, I have about 33 mil sitting in my cash pouch, and I've been trying to buy golden dragon fruit seeds, but I just can't because I have a collection of beans that are sitting there, right? So I gotta get the golden dragon fruits, but those things aren't buying for 400k each. So I don't know if I want to spend that much on golden dragon fruit, or if I just want to, you know, go for the wood along the way, the wood and fruit. So I always try and get some planting done on the Sunday before the multiplier goes down. I'm going to see if I can get some golden dragon fruit before this Sunday and just get another infusion of XP. So that's what I've been up to. How about you, Earth?
Inching, and I do mean inching, towards 99 thieving.
Oh, good.
I've said, all right, I'm going to get it today, like 5 different times. I'm like 400k away. It's just a matter of time at this point.
Yeah, it's like 20 minutes or so at the nights at the garden there.
I know, but it's just, it's so dull.
Right, okay.
I'd rather not just sit there and, you know.
How's been your experience with Wilderness Flash events?
I did one about an hour ago whenever we were getting started.
Yeah, and the reason I ask about that is Succession, of course. I really, really want to hear what you have to say about Succession.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's an interesting quest, and I think even you agreed last week, Tatis, that it was an interesting take on the way they did things, so.
Yeah.
But I believe that's it for this episode of Updates, so thanks everybody for being here. We do have some fun shows coming down the pipe, and we can talk about those right now. So next week will be our year in review. We'll be touching on each of the 12 headlining or 10 headlining updates of the year and talking about what they brought to the game, summarizing, recapping them. So that's things like Het's Oasis, the mini quests, the Extinction, so on and so forth, the accidental update. As we go on, we'll be bringing back various panelists to talk about those. That'll be next week. The week after that will be everybody's favorite clip show, of course, because, you know, we all love the annual RSB&B clip shows. That'll be right around New Year's Eve. That one will be released. And then the week after that, Sirion and I will be sitting down with Mod Jack to talk about Endgame and RuneScape. What does RuneScape's Endgame look like? What do you do after you max? What do you do after you comp? And what's the general strategy for RuneScape Endgame? We're going to have a nice long-ranging discussion with him on that, so catch that the first week of January. Then after that, we'll be back to talk about the death system rework and grand exchange fees. And before we go, just a reminder, if you want to have RSBNB Update delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Pocket Casts, Amazon, and more, Stitcher 2, amongst others. Just visit update.show/subscribe. And we're also on YouTube, of course, where you can find the nibbles and our video versions of the show. So with that being said, we'll see you next week or another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
See ya.